I'm Lori Manatic.
Lori.
All right. Huh? It's an anonymous program. It can be called whatever I want. Anyway, all right. Can you help me reopen the meeting with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer, please? God.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Okay, first of all, I do a lot better whenever I have a podium to fidget with. So if I'm like running back and forth across here, you'll have to excuse me because I have to fidget every day in my life. That's what I do. First of all, I'm Lori Manatic, and my clean date is 8/8/07. So tomorrow I will, as long as I make it through the rest of the day and wake up in the morning, have 9 years clean. Excuse me if I'm a chaotic mess, because I always turn into one when I'm close to my anniversary, and so here we are. I've been kind of nervous all day. I haven't spoke in a while. The last time I was asked to speak, I suffered instantly because I had a really bad migraine that day. So, it's been probably a good 6, 7, 8, 9 so months. I can't even tell you how long. So I'm a little rusty at this. Can I swear? Okay, good. I love the word fuck, okay? So if I use it a lot, I'm not going to apologize because I really like it. Although there's kids around, but hopefully they all scattered a little bit. So on Friday, this past Friday, I've been in graduate school for 3 years now. So as long as I pass this final class, I turned in all of my assignments on Friday. Everything is done for graduate school. So hopefully, as long as, like I said, I pass everything, but I don't think I'm going to have a problem, I will have a master's degree. Thank you. So it is a big weekend for me. It's pretty crazy, and it's all wonderful blessings in my life. So for the first time in 9 years, because like 3 months after I got clean, I started back into school. So for the first time in 9 years, I'm not in school, planning to be in school, or applying for school, or anything with school, because I'm done with school for right now. So so now, what the hell am I going to do? I'm kind of there. But I have a lot of faith, you know, that things are going to work out exactly the way they're supposed to be. So, the plan that I thought I was going to be on didn't happen. So this is where I'm at today. And I'm really grateful to be where I am today. So, let's see. I guess I'll talk a little bit about where I came from. Blah, blah, blah. Childhood, I thought was normal. There was a lot of jacked up things in my childhood that I didn't really realize were that messed up, because it's just how my family was, you know what I mean? And my parents were both addicts before I was born. They both quit out. My dad drinks now, but my mom doesn't even really drink or anything. But she's like a dry drunk, we'll call her, you know. So she has one addiction obsession after another. God bless her. She stays clean, you know. Like I said, I'm 31, so it's been years, you know what I mean, that she's managed to stay going from an IV drug user to a normal human being. So there's that. My father, when it comes to him, there's a lot of sexual abuse in my family due to him, or attempts, or whatever the hell you want to call it. None of them, as far as I know, had anything to do with me. But other siblings of mine, I have a half-sister that's not his child. So when she was 15, I was a little kid still, and woke up in the morning and she was gone. My mom was at work because my parents worked a lot of nights, and she was gone. And I think I was like 8 or 9 years old. I was in fourth grade. Found out that my father had tried to rape her in the middle of the night. She was on the bottom bunk and I was on the top. You know what I mean? So lots of issues from that. Abandonment issues from her. I mean, I don't trust men very easily. Still today in my life, it affects me a lot. There's something about when you can't live in your own house and feel comfortable around a man that makes you not feel comfortable around men in general. So, which, I mean, if people don't know, I'm a lesbian, but I think it has nothing to do with any of that. Just how I am, you know. And thank God through this program, the men in my life that I trust today are people in this program. So I have father figures in NA. I have really good friends in NA that are men, you know what I mean? And that's a blessing to me because I never was able to experience that growing up. I followed my dad around and, like, idolized him, you know. I wanted to, like, be like him, you know what I mean? But, like, I still am missing that capacity to trust him wholeheartedly. And so I do have a relationship with him. Pretty scattered, we'll call it, but that's a decision I made. So all this got brought up recently because I was talking to a newcomer that someone gave me her number, and I called her back, and she was talking about all this abuse in her past. So that recently got stirred up. But for the most part, most of that has been dealt with through working the steps with me. You know, I've gained acceptance with the situation how it is, you know what I mean? I know what distance to keep my father at, you know what I mean? The things that happened with my siblings, you know, and stuff like that. When I was a teenager, I stayed with my dad, in spite of what happened with my sister. Whenever my parents split, I stayed with my dad, and we got real close. We did drugs together. So, that was interesting in and of itself. And then some allegations came out about my little sister, who she just turned 17, whenever she was a little kid, about him sexually molesting her. So I just up and left the situation and moved in with my mom the day that I found out. And like I said, my relationship with him has been a little estranged since then, but I think I do fairly well with it. As the drug part comes in, I honestly think that at that point in my life that it kind of saved me from myself and the situation that I was in. So I drank, not for the first time, but blackout drank the first time whenever I was 11 years old, and I ended up in the hospital with blood alcohol poisoning. We ran out of mixer, so I started drinking straight shots. I was 11, you know, that's where I went instantly. And 12 years old, my 12th birthday present from my sister, who's only like a year and a half older than me, we started smoking weed together. So that's the environment I kind of lived in. Like I said, my parents, like when my parents were together, they didn't do drugs or anything like that, really. It wasn't until they split that my dad started doing drugs with me. But the neighbors, you know, that we lived out in the country, and the name we had, just the normal party scene, that's what we did, you know. So I grew up having and throwing field parties, and inviting everybody around. I was just telling Rachel yesterday, I think it was, that, like, I was the go-to for people, like, to start to try using drugs, which is interesting, you know what I mean, to flip-flop where I'm at today. I try to help people stay clean versus introducing them to drugs, you know. It just progressed. By the time I was 13, 14, I started taking acid. 15, I started going to raves and taking ecstasy. And then I started doing crystal meth, and it just went on and on, Special K, you know, until by the time I was a senior in high school, when I was 18, I was doing heroin on a daily basis. So I did graduate high school. I don't remember much of it. So people, I'll recognize faces when I run into people from high school and stuff, and I'll be like, I don't remember your name. And then I think about it, I'm like, I wonder what they remember about me. You know what I mean? Like, oh, there's that, she's alive. Like, the girl made it. She's still alive, you know? That's often what I think about whenever people look at me. But I don't think without this program I would be alive today. I was on the fast track to dying by the age of 25. That's what I truly believe. I got clean, like I said, in 2007. I was 22 years old whenever I got clean. If you can do the math, I'm 31, I'll be 32. Yeah, coming up here soon. So now I'm getting old, so I feel about it. But God willing, I will grow old and die clean. That's what I want for my life today. But when I first got clean, I couldn't see it like that. It was like, just for today, I'm not going to drink and I'm not going to use drugs, because that's the way I had to see things, you know. But after meeting a bunch of people in the program that had 20 years clean, 30 years clean. You know what I mean? I was like, that's who I want to be. And those are the people I got close to whenever I was in early recovery, and I followed them. And I think that might be why I'm such a passive individual, because I don't know if you ever really talk to an old-timer, but they're usually like, oh, you know, like pretty passive about things. They're past the Nazi stage and, like, you know, pretty calm about recovery and loving individuals. So I think I kind of skipped over the Nazi stage at some point and just went right into that, which was kind of nice. not completely. I was a Nazi for a little bit. But anyway, yeah, right? They started around 18 months. It was real bad. Anyway, so let's see. I went into a rehab, and I didn't complete the inpatient rehab. I left AMA because I was a spaz and didn't know how to sit still for long enough to stay in a recovery place like that. So I left, and I got kicked. I got kicked out of my mother's house because she was the one that told me I needed to go to rehab. Like I said, it's going to be a lot of reminiscing right now. Tomorrow's my grandmother's birthday as well, so you'll have to excuse me because I'm going to scoot out of here pretty promptly after I'm done speaking because I have my grandmother's 91st birthday party to go to, after this. So, and I love my grandmother. So what better day to have my clean date on? So as long as I stay clean, I can remember my grandmother even after she passes on my birthday or on my clean date. You know what I mean? So anyways, so we were at my grandmother's birthday party, in 2007. And for some reason, all this truth came out of my mouth, which I was not capable of at the time, about how I'd been using and trying to stop using, and told my mother this. We were sitting at the table at my grandmother's house, and she gave me the ultimatum, go to rehab or get out of my house, you know what I mean? I was like, this is what I get for being honest, you know? And so I did. I went into rehab, and like I said, I didn't stay. I left rehab, but I did want to stay clean. I had already been trying to stop using. At that point, I was on my own methadone maintenance program. So, you know, every three try to stop using it, and then out of their house, you know, it was like my mother's house. I'm living in the basement. I'm like, flipping out. I couldn't stop. I could not use it on that third day. And I'd have to go, you know, I was buying it because if I went to the clinic, then I really had a problem and people would know I had a problem. So if I bought it off the street, I was fine. So that's what I was doing. Anyway, so yeah, every third day I'd go buy it and I just couldn't stop. And I was in a massive depression at that point in my life. I was on short-term disability from work because I had some physical ailments, which I believe were truly depression. Manifesting themselves in physical ways. And, you know, no matter what I did, like, I couldn't come out of the basement for more than, like, a couple hours unless I was going to get drugs and, you know, stuff like that. I was stuck. And so, you know, when all that honest stuff came out of my mouth and telling my mother that, I was surprised, but now looking back, I'm not surprised because that was my last desperate attempt to get somebody to help me. Because I didn't know what to do anymore. I really didn't. And so I went into rehab, and when I stopped using, and I got that, even though I left, you know, I got that little space of time, I was the happiest fucking person you could have possibly met just because I was able to stop using for a short period of time. You know, like, I wasn't one of those people that were like, oh, I don't have my drugs anymore, and blah, blah, blah. No, I was like, thank God it's gone. Like, I felt awesome, you know. So I rode that cloud for a while, you know. I didn't, right after I left that program AMA, I went to one NA meeting up in Washington, PA, because a friend of mine was in a three-quarter way house up there. It was a Wednesday women's meeting, something like that, and she told me to go. I never got a white key tag because I was like, they had meetings in rehab. Why did I need to get a white key tag? I didn't understand. And then after that, it was like a couple weeks before I did anything. I got a puppy, you know, fill in the void. And I was trying to get back into an inpatient program, but I didn't use. So they were like, if you don't have drugs in your system, then you can't go to inpatient. And I'm like, you telling me that I need to, like, go do dope to come to rehab? You know what I mean? Like, I was pretty upset about it. And so I finally got into one, but the person I was with at the time, we had some separation issues, and she said to me, she's like, well, you can go get that puppy you want if you do outpatient instead of going to inpatient. So I did outpatient, and I have a 9-year-old miniature dachshund puppy who's a little hellion still. But I love them to death. You know, we make the choices we do. But I met the people that I did in outpatient, and there was a guy in there who was 27 years old, and he was shooting crack and heroin in his neck because he had blown out all of his veins and stuff. And the, why I tell you this is the beautiful thing about this is I saw my path through him. That's where I was going. I was 22. In 5 years, if I lived that long, I was going to be doing the same thing he was. But he had this wonderful, like, vibrant spirit because he was he had stopped using. And he was, like, driven for recovery. And so I started following him around, you know. And thinking back on it now, he was kind of like my first sponsor. He had, like, a month more clean than me. But, like, he was telling me what to do, and I was doing what he said. And he was going to meetings, and he was staying clean. And he's in the Greensburg area now. He's still clean. He's married. He has a little daughter. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I'm eternally grateful for him being placed in my path. So, you know, he's like, well, go to meetings. So I started going to meetings. And then he's like, get a sponsor. So I got a sponsor. And then he's like, well, I'm working the steps. Didn't you start working the steps yet? And I was like, well, no, you know. And so usually my original sponsor, my first sponsor, she said, usually I wait until 90 days clean, but you're like chomping at the bit, so I'll let you start. So when I had 60 days clean, I started working the steps. And from there, the work really began, you know what I mean? That's when my life really started to change, and continuing to work the steps ever since then to the best of my ability on a daily basis, which is why I believe I'm still clean. So we did little races. He's like, you know, I'm done with my first step, and I have, like, 60 pages. And I'm like, oh, you know, like, so I try to write more than him. So I did, like, really, really in-depth steps 1, 2, and 3, because that's when we were, like, really close. So I got really to know myself over that situation, you know, because he was afraid that if he didn't do a really thorough job that he wasn't going to stay clean. And I was like, well, if he's doing it, then I'll do it too. And he was right, because he did a really thorough job, and I stayed clean. So, so yeah, I got a sponsor, and I just started doing what she said, and I started going to meetings on a daily basis. You know, for the first 3 years of my recovery, that's what I did. I went to meetings every day. When I woke up in the morning, I knew what meeting I was going to. That was the first thing on my mind. I prayed. Well, whenever I was in a meeting early on, they had the posters with, like, the Serenity Prayer, the Third Step Prayer, and the steps on them. And I saw that, and the Third Step Prayer really caught my eye. And so on a daily basis, I've gotten away from it a little bit over the last, like, year or so, but I say that as my prayer every morning. Like, I like to pray when I'm in the shower in the morning. For some reason, I remember to do it when I'm showering, if I shower in the morning. So, and then throughout the day, I have continuous conversations with my higher power. That's how I pray. So, let's see. I feel like I'm all over the place. I was so chaotic this morning. I was like, I'm so nervous. And then I went and sat over there, like, right before the meeting started, and, like, prayed and meditated and just felt perfectly fine, you know? And I was walking back, and Don said, isn't he good? And I said, always, you know. It's amazing how something so simple, just for a minute or two, you know what I mean, by turning this process into at least a consistent stream of thoughts in my head, not scattered and jumbled all over the place. So let's see, where was I at? So, okay, by the time I had a year clean, I was already working on my fourth step. I'm pretty sure I had it done. The timeline's a little fuzzy at this point. Like I said, I'm getting old, so... supposed to be a joke. I'm glad somebody laughed. I really don't feel that old, other than, like, the aches and pains, but I hope I get old today. Anyways, I'll talk about that for a second. I really didn't believe that I would live to be 25, so obviously I turned 25 in this program. I've made it past that little milestone. At least it was a big one for me. And, like, I went from, like, not having a plan for, like, the rest of my life, like, at all. I'm just like, oh, I'm only living this long. I don't have to think about it. You know what I mean? And then I hit 25, and I was like, shit, I might get old. Like, what am I going to do? You know, it was like a real serious day for me because I wasn't sure what to do after that. Anyways, I continued working the steps. And I got really involved in service. Whenever I was new in recovery, I started showing up at the area service meetings. So I was in the Northeast area at that point, and I was like, I would like to do H&I someday. So I sat in on the H&I subcommittee, and they're like, you can stamp literature. I was like, this is great. They're giving me something to do. You know, I have like 30, 40, something like that, days clean. So, and then, like, we would have the H&I workshops and stuff like that, and they would let me, like, do the do's and don'ts, like what you do whenever you're in doing an H&I meeting, you know what I mean? Again, I felt like a part of, I was involved. And then the literature coordinator in the back needed help, so I started, like, doling out literature, which I thought was, like, menial at first. Two things. One, we really need literature. It's really important. You know what I mean? That's one of the things that I learned by doing that commitment. And the other thing is that I had all this literature at my fingertips whenever I got that position. So then I just, like, I literally knew the literacy number this was. I knew what that book was. Like, I really got to know the literature. So much so that later on, whenever the literature subcommittee itself needed a literature chair, I stepped up because the subcommittee wasn't... Yeah, it was dead, basically. It's probably dead again, but I haven't been down to Niasna in a while. But anyways, I think I had like 3 years clean whenever I started being the chair of the literature subcommittee. We put out a newsletter every 3 months, and like, you know, I started being able to like write and edit, and you know, this whole time I'm going to school and really being involved. I had a home group, a sponsor that I was really involved with, and. And her and her husband spent a lot of time with me whenever I was that crazy, chaotic newcomer. They let me, like, follow them around in their house and, like, at their lake house or whatever it's called and, like, you know, let me help them build stuff and, like, do all this different stuff. Just, like, I watched them live their lives, you know what I mean, and learned how to stay clean. When I had about 18 months clean, my sponsor and I started having disagreements. I figured out later on that, like, I was ready to grow and, like, spread my wings and start making some of my own decisions. Because when I first got clean, I was afraid to breathe wrong. Like, I called my sponsor the one night and was like, I'm drinking coffee because I want to stay awake. Is that a relapse? And, like, I was dead serious. You know what I mean? I was like, and, yeah, I know. I was crazy. I told you. So, you know, I just was, like, really needed guidance whenever I first got clean. I didn't know how to clean. Am I running out of time? Is that why you're looking at your watch? Okay. I thought you were, like, giving me the signal, like, you're running on. No. I know that would be opposite. I'm done. No. Work the steps and stay clean. All right. No. where the hell was I? Oh, geez. Okay. Anyways. So, like, 18 months clean, my sponsor actually, well, I had a really bad day whenever I had, like, 18 months clean. I think I was, like, fighting with the sponsee sister that I was dating at the time, so we had the same sponsor. Yeah, it was a mess. We were fighting with our sponsor, obviously, and so she dropped me as a sponsee that day. My dog ran away, and I lost, like, a $200 lawn mowing job all, like, within, like, a half-hour span. I was like, what am I going to do? So I called somebody and got a sponsor first off. I was like, I know, I've been telling you for months that you better make room for me, because she only takes on 5 sponsees at a time. I was like, you better make room for me. I was like, well, she dropped me, so I need a sponsor. Like, you know, she was like, yes, I'll sponsor you. So I still have the same sponsor, however, what, like, 7 years later? Jeez. Anyways. But I stayed clean. Also that day, I showed up at what was my great-grand sponsor's house. Von Zell and Lori Wade have been in a large part in my recovery, my whole recovery. And, Lori was my first grand sponsor, and I used her last name. I'm sorry, W. Lori W. And I'll call her. Anyways. So they were really, really a big part of my life. And I showed up at her house after I got a sponsor and told her what was going on and passed some time with her after I went home and found my dog. And they helped me stay clean for that day. And that was the most important thing. It was like one of those really hard days, and I stayed clean, you know. And ice cream. I lived in town when I was real little. It reminds me of the ice cream man. So anyway. Is it the ice cream man?
Yeah.
Right. I won't be mad if we take a break right now. That's so distracting. Whenever my little sister was a child, she had a button on this wheel that made that exact make her fall asleep whenever she was little. So it reminds me of that, too. Anyways, she's 17 now. I don't have to do that anymore, thank God. life just moved on the way it was supposed to. I didn't have the capacity to move on to a different sponsor, even though I kept talking about it. So she dropped me. You know what I mean? Like, God just took care of it. And I got a sponsor that I still to this day trust with my life, and I know I can tell anything to. And one of the main things, and I try to talk about this a little bit, because I got clean when I was 22. And, like, everybody's like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter your age and blah, blah, blah. But at that point, I was like, I can't believe that I'm not going to drink for the rest of my life. Like, this is insane. You know what I mean? Like, I'm 22. How can I not go out to bars? How am I going to meet women? Like, that's what all my friends do. Like, I couldn't understand, which I don't have those friends anymore, by the way. So the sponsor that I have still today, she got clean when she was 21, you know, and she stayed clean. She just celebrated 29 years clean, you know, and I'm so grateful to have her in my life because she understood how important it was to have that connection with somebody young in recovery. She always used to say, I thought that was so important, I married him. Because her husband, they got clean around the same time, they were the same age, and you know, they met each other, and they ended up getting married because it was so important to have somebody understand, you know, that's young in recovery. So if anybody young here is looking for somebody that has experience with that, I do. I've stayed clean, you know what I mean, and made it this far in my life, thank God. So I still have that, you know, still have that same sponsor. We've worked through the steps. I went through 1 through 6 with my first sponsor, started on 7 with my current sponsor, and I'm on 12. So, you know, I've worked through all the steps. I have sponsees, some great women that call me, even though, like I said, I have the chronic migraines and stuff. Sometimes over the last 4 years since from the chronic migraines, like, I've been hit hard, you know. So I don't even know how to describe. I mean, grad school in and of itself is, like, a fucking nightmare. Yeah. So, you know, I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I loved school, but it was pretty hectic. And then, you know, you throw chronic migraines on top of that, and it's just, it can be a nightmare. And but I still, as far as this class goes, I think I have an A in it. So as long as I can't continue with this last class, I will have a 4.0. Ever since I got clean and started, I went from I was on academic probation when I got clean for school. This was the second time I went back because I went right after high school and then I went back again and I couldn't stop using long enough to, like, show up to class. Didn't know that was important. So I was on academic probation, and ever since I've gotten clean, every single class I've taken, first of all, I showed up to it, and second, I've gotten an A. So I went from being on academic probation to, like, them paying me to come to graduate school, you know what I mean? And what a drastic difference, you know what I mean? It's because of this program. I learned to go to meetings on a continuous basis, you know what I mean? So, oh, you go to meetings and you read the literature. You go to class and you read your books, like... And I just apply this stuff into my daily life, and it's gotten me, you know, as far as I am today. So, whenever I first got sick and started graduate school and I moved up here, thank God for this area because you guys saved my life, quite literally. I felt so welcomed into this area that do I miss those people? Damn right I do. But I feel at home here as well. And thank God for that because I was going through enough crap at the time that, like, I needed to be able to feel at home and come to a meeting and say, like, look, I have all these things due for school and my head just freaking hurts, You know what I mean? And I'm having a hard time today. And everybody here just listened to me and asked me how I was doing on a continuous basis, you know, continuing basis. So I celebrated 6 years clean at the High Noon meeting, which is my current home group right now. So, you know, I'll be able to celebrate 9 with them hopefully this coming Wednesday. And that was like when I first moved up here. So, you know, it's been 3 years. I have a wonderful life today. I still have that really bad dog. I mean, wonderful. That wonderful dog. He just fits in groundhog holes, okay? So if you get a wiener dog, he's a miniature. Just know that they will fit in groundhog holes, okay? And they were bred to chase badgers. So they're badasses, and they like to chase things in holes. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to find them. Oh, there you go. There's Will. Okay. So, So I have him, and I talk about my pets a lot. I love animals. I've always felt a deeper connection with animals than I did with human beings. And, you know, how you see, like, strangers, and you say hi to them, but you can always, like, lean down and pet the dog. Like, there's interaction there. The dog is almost always happy to see you. We have 2 cats, and I have my wonderful fiancé. We were planning on getting married here this coming April. She's in recovery, too, which is awesome. You know what I mean? It's nice, like I said, to have that connection with somebody. And it's all good things going on in life right now. I try to keep up on reading the literature the best that I can. You know, now that I'm done with grad school and don't feel like I have to cram my head with all that other stuff, hopefully I can get back into the literature a little bit more, even though I sporadically do read it here and there. And you know, a lot of good things going on in life. You know, I have sponsees that I've been sponsoring since they got clean that now have like 5 years clean, you know. So they can call me on my shit, you know, just the same as I can call them on theirs. And, you know, newcomers call me, and eventually they get to the point, you know, where they're like, I know you're going to say, don't take nothing and go to a meeting. And I'm like, you're right. That's the answer right there. Don't take nothing and go to a meeting. Pray about it, you know. And, just simple things in life, you know. I was going through a breakup. Will and I did this at the same time. We went through a pretty bad breakup, and he was living like in the town next to me and needed rides all the time, so it was perfect. We were, both going through a really hard time, and I remember an old timer saying to me, you know, there was 3 roles. What was it? Number 1, don't take anything. Number 2, don't break rule number 1, and number 3, don't break the rules. So, like, I was like, okay, so, like, don't take anything. And he told me when I was having my hardest day, and I called him, and I was bawling my eyes out, you know, and he told me, he's like, now I want you to get off the phone and thank God for another day clean. And I was so pissed at him for telling me that, because that day, I was not grateful. I was not, because the pain I was feeling was pretty overwhelming, you know what I mean? But I did it anyways, and I got through that period in my life, you know what I mean? And came out better on the other end of it, you know? So even when I'm having my hardest days, you know what I mean, I know to be grateful to stay clean today, because if I don't have that, then I don't have anything else. I don't have anything else. Everything else will be out the window, you know what I mean? Real quick, I'll be selling it to the dope man. That's where it'll go, you know? And, you know, and the most important thing to me today is my spiritual well-being. So if I can maintain that, the ice cream man, I just can't. If I can maintain that, if I can maintain my my spiritual condition, everything in life just goes a little, that much better, you know what I mean? And I do that by praying and working the steps and calling my sponsor. that's awesome. So this audio, the ice cream man, like, he's driving around, okay? I always hate that when I'm listening to leads, and I'm like, I wish I was there, because I have no idea what they're talking about and laughing about right now. You know, if I can maintain my spiritual condition on, and there's my motorcycles now, okay. So, and on a continuous basis, then then everything else is good, you know, and I do that by working the steps. So thank you to the committee for for having me speak today, and thanks.